Now, as we take a look today at this passage out of Romans 15, last week when we looked at Numbers chapter 9, there's some similar concepts here on plans. Paul's plans were expressed here in Romans 15, 23 to 24. We must remember that this letter was written to the Christians in Rome, that this was like a personal letter to them. But what Paul did is he wrote this, not just a nice short letter, a very lengthy letter to lay out the basis of what we believe as Christians. He presents our worldview, which is in contrast to the world around us. They don't see things the way we see them. And what Paul is trying to do is get that very well set in their hearts in how we see this world through the truth that is in Jesus, how Jesus has transformed our hearts and our lives. Jesus transformed the people in Rome. As we see around the world at that time, the disciples actually took the message that Jesus had proclaimed to them. The resurrected Christ had appeared to them. We're going to be looking at that in the next couple weeks here about the importance of the resurrection. But the disciples obeyed what Jesus told them to do and took this message to the world of their day. And the world laughs, it mocks, yes, it even despises what we believe as Christians. And we need to take that to heart, that it's not just us. Now, yes, we have to be careful. If I come across rude, if I come across arrogant, if I get in people's face, then if I'm persecuted because of that, it's not because of righteousness' sake. It's just because I'm basically presenting the gospel in a very, would you say, non-Christ-like manner. And I'm sad to say, I've seen many Christians do that in witnessing, just get in people's faces, and that's usually not the best way to win somebody to the Lord. And what we need to do, in fact, just having what shared here with the Samaritan's purse, that's the kind of stuff, the serving people, showing them by our actions. And then when people ask you, why do you do this? Why do you give yourself in serving without getting paid for this? Then you have an open door to share to their hearts and say, hey, it's what Jesus has done inside of me that has made me want to serve the world around, even people who I disagree with, that maybe I wouldn't like if we really got to know each other, but that the Spirit of God working in me helps me to overcome all those challenges that come against us. Now we see Paul saying he had plans here to visit them in many times where, he wanted to see them, but we find many times his plans didn't work out as we would like them to. And not only Paul, but for all of us. How many can say they made plans and then things didn't go as planned? And I'm going to share a little bit here about some of my experiences. But Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it talks about that basically trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Now I touched a little on this last week. Michelle and I, we were in Alma Center down by Black River Falls. 3 years, a small farming town. Good things were happening. The church was growing. We were very involved. I was coaching basketball in the high school. I was a chaplain at the correctional camp. All these good things. The churches were working together. We had Bible studies with the Catholic Church in town and the Methodist Church in town and the other Christian church that was there. Pastor, guess what? He had a little store in town that he sold fish from, and of course me with my fish tanks. It's always been something that, so we got to be good friends. There was just a lot of good things going on, and out of the clear blue, God laid on our heart the city of Hayward. I'd never been out. A lot of people said I had ulterior motives for coming here. and because of the hunting and fishing. But guess what? I grew up in central Wisconsin, and I had pretty good hunting and fishing right there in Alma Center, and right by Black River Falls has great hunting and great fishing as well. So it wasn't just hunting and fishing that brought us here to Hayward, but God laid it on our hearts out of the clear blue and through a lot of specific things that just happened, confirmed beyond a shadow of a doubt, this was the move we were to make. Everything leading up to it was amazing, but guess what? From the day we moved, nothing went as planned. My plans, in fact, I think I shared this, the first thing I, in fact, Michelle, we got here June 30th, 1987, so 35 years ago, and Rachel was born July 31st, 1987. So she was 8 months pregnant when we moved. We had two children, small children, at that point. And coming here to a group of about a dozen people to start a new church was quite the challenge. And so I knew I had to work full-time on the side. And guess what? I figured God was going to give me this nice, high-paying job. Guess what I got? Yeah. No, eventually car sales. I wish I'd have started in car sales. Car sales was a good job. But guess what I started out as? A dishwasher. Yeah, and guess what? At minimum wage. It's like, whoa. But you know what? In fact, I shared with you. In fact, the reason why I share Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is because my first week of work was the Lumberjack Championships, bent over a sink in the back room of the co-op restaurant. And I'll never forget coming home after 40 hours that week when it was just packed and busier than snot and in a back kitchen. And in fact, I see Bev Cunningham out here. She also worked with me when I worked at the senior center, helping her as a cook aide. Now you can imagine that. Ask Beth about my experience with a gravy there, huh? I was supposed to get a container out of the refrigerator that had coleslaw dressing in it, and so I looked in there, and here's this thing that says, you know, coleslaw dressing on it, and I took it out, and I said, well, I was putting it on the salad. I says, well, how brown is this supposed to get? And her and Mabel Bennis, pastor's wife from the Congregational Church, they turned around and looked at me, brown? And I said, well, this is, it says coleslaw container or coleslaw dressing on a thing. Well, here they'd put gravy in there. And so I dumped gravy all over. Yeah. So that was some of my experiences and some of these jobs that I had. But what, they laughed. They got such a big kick out of that, huh, Beth? So I had to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and get coleslaw for the day. But I get at this is because nothing went as planned. And so what do you do in a situation like that? I did what we talked about a lot last week. I grumbled and complained. Just like the children of Israel did when things didn't go the way they planned. And that's when Scripture, and that is Scripture is our guide, and God takes the words out of God's word and applies it to our heart. He speaks them to our heart. That's where Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 came in. And then Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than your ways and your thoughts. And so I had to come to the place we're going to talk about a little bit later here. I learned that I need to, every day, seek God with all my heart and leave the results of that day in God's hands. I make my plans. Now, Paul made plans, and many times we see he was prevented from doing some of the things, but I love the book of Acts. Paul says he was going not knowing. He says he only knew this one thing, that the Holy Spirit warned him wherever he went was going to be persecution and trouble. It was going to be a battle. Now, how many of us would continue to go if that was the case? And it's like, no, many of us are like, nah, I'm not going to do that. It's like, no, we need to move forward in life, even though it may be rough. And here's another thing to consider. You and I can be in the exact center of God's will, and it can seem like all hell is breaking loose around you. We've had those experiences. And you wonder, like, God, where are you in this? And you find he's right there with you, walking with you in those experiences. Michelle and I learned a lot in the school of hard knocks. I had to work with Marlene, too, so. Couldn't help it, Marlene. But all these things, if you'd have told me, I would have been a car sales. In fact, when I got invited to come into car sales by Orville Stone, and Orville called me and said, boy, we have an opening for a car salesman, and you'd make a good one. I said, how in the world would I make a good car salesman? I said, I am not mechanical. I said, all I know is a car needs oil and gas, and don't ask me to do anything with the oil. I can put gas in, but that's about it. I am that, you know, I'm not no mechanical genius at all. And he laughed. He said, you don't need to know anything about cars. He said, you need to know people. And he said, that is the key to being a good car salesman. And that is true, isn't it? Yeah. And you know what I found even in that experience? And I'm sharing all this morning just to, because what is your story? And that is, this is a part of our testimony and Paul's plans here. We see them expressed here in the book of Romans and throughout the letters that Paul wrote. He talks about his plans, the things that he did. And what are your plans in life? And did things work as you wanted them? And if not, what did you learn from these experiences? And that's where our faith comes into such a living, active experience, is that it's not just God way off there somewhere guiding and directing us. He's right here with us, taking us one step at a time, day by day, through experiences. Proverbs 16 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. In your hearts, human plans, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Proverbs 19, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Jeremiah 29, this is probably a favorite of most people. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now we take these passages of Scripture and the amazing guidance and how God works in our lives and situations. Now, some take it, especially if we read this last one, that if I'm just faithful and obedient and walk with God, I don't waver in fear, doubt, and unbelief, that my life is going to be filled with just blessings and success. Now, is that what we see in Scripture? No, we don't. Listen to Paul. Do you think Paul was sold out to God? Do you think he was wanting to do God's good, pleasing, and perfect will? We know that he was. Was he perfect? No, none of us are. My experiences, I sometimes wondered, should I have gotten into car sales? You know, there's questions you make. And I spent 14 years in car sales. I got to know an awful lot of people in this community and have good relationships with a lot. In fact, I know a few people here have bought vehicles from me over the years. Marlene, she actually even bought one from me. And but it is, there's a lot of things that happen in these experiences that I have good experiences, and then lots of ones that's like, dear God, really? This is your good, pleasing, and perfect will? And that's where, you know what, we find in those times when things don't go as planned, that's what exposes our heart. It exposes the things in us that, like I say, I grumbled and complained when I had that first week of work there and just couldn't figure it out. Like, what in the world was this? This is God's will for me, to be working as a dishwasher. And But it is. It exposed something that I needed to deal with. I need to not grumble and complain when things don't go my way. Now listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He talks about some of the things that he has been through. Sad to say, there were people saying that Paul wasn't really much of a servant of Christ because of he's just not working as hard as what they were. And Paul says, I have worked much harder. I have been in prison more frequently. No. Been flogged more severely. Been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and the Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. And it's like, wow, you read that. In fact, I used to go to this passage when I was kind of bumming, thinking some of the stuff I had, and I was like, well, I never had, I wasn't beaten. I had plenty of car accidents, but plenty of deer hits, different things happened, and plenty of diabetic reactions that could have killed me time and time again. But my life has been spared. I've come through. And those experiences are a part of my testimony. And that's why I enjoy having, I look out here, I see Grant when we had his testimony shared. And just the impact of a person's testimony. You and I need to know that. You know, people can argue with us about what we believe. But one of the things they can't argue with you about is your experience in your personal walk with God. Last night we watched that movie, Miracles from Heaven, about the little girl that fell down 30 feet into a tree. And her mom and dad had been, this poor girl got struck with this stomach disease where her stomach didn't work at all and she was in pain constantly and just all the horrible things. And it's like everybody was praying for her and nothing happened. And her mom was like, she gave up. And then people in church, instead of being for them and encourage them, condemned them. Oh, it's kind of like Job's 3 friends. There's sin in your life. That's why this is happening. It's like, really? And sad to say, there are churches like, that's what I liked about that film. It was very real about the imperfect of church and then the pastor having to deal with all that stuff. It's like, yeah. Yeah, I like what he said too. It's like, yeah, you can't always pick the people that come to your church, but he says you have to learn to deal with them. And I thought, you know, that is a good point. We have to deal with each other. Now, hopefully none of us would be that way. I would hope not. But those things happen. And then to see, after all the things that this girl went through, to have something weird like that happen where it looked like she was going to be dead, and here she was miraculously healed in this fall into this tree that had a big hollow cottonwood tree in their front yard. It's just, and it's an amazing story. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to watch it because it is just one, it's a tearjerker, but it's amazing the story of how God worked in and through these awful situations. And you know what? In my own life, I can say the same thing. And I know I talk a lot about having lost our daughter, Bethany, and Rachel experienced losing her sister, her best friend, and we have these things. In fact, I look out here, that's how Dot and I got to know each other, because Dot and her husband lost a daughter as well. And so we see those kinds of things that bring people together, and our experiences, our testimony, does impact people. So I want to encourage you, help people, love people, reach out to them. And then as people will question you about your life, that then you have the opportunity to share. And we see here, Paul, even though he went through all of these experiences, that he did not lose faith. He did not lose hope. You just go throughout Scripture and look at the experiences. Look at Joseph in the book of Genesis. Remember, he had a dream as a teenager. Oh, he dreamed his brothers were going to be bowing down to him. Well, we know that they didn't take that very kindly, and they sold him. They were going to kill him, but his older brother Reuben talked him out of it and sold him to some Ishmaelites that went to Egypt, and then he ended up in Egypt and looked like things were going to go well for him, and then he got wrongly accused, got sent to prison. He got in prison, interpreted some dreams, and the dreams were interpreted right, and the guy was supposed to remember to get him out, didn't remember. And so it's like, was it 13 years go by before Joseph finally gets called and interpret Pharaoh's dream, and then he gets elevated to the position. But you think those 13 years where nothing went as planned, what was that doing in Joseph? You think about that. And that's it. What is all your experiences doing to you? Hopefully, your faith is growing. Hopefully, you are learning. You are growing in your knowledge and understanding. It brings a maturity to us. And I love when Joseph's brothers come. At first, you kind of see his reaction to them. I was like, Yeah. He kind of made them squirm a little bit there with some of the things that they had to do. But when he finally had his dad come and his family all there to share, and then finally Joseph revealed who he truly was, his brothers were like, oh no, he's going to get us now, because they were in shock. Like, this is really you, Joseph? And yet he didn't, because God had done a work in his heart. He forgave his brothers. In fact, there's a great scripture there. You may have intended it for evil, but God intended it for good. And you know what? And that's it. We talk about this a lot. What Satan intends for evil, to destroy us, God will take those very situations. Paul's situations here, guess what? He was a seasoned pro, not a professional, and that he's had it all figured out, because he knew he didn't have it figured out. But he knew in whom he believed. And that's why he could say, I know in whom I believe. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him. My life, I've committed to him against that day, the day of my passing from this life, or the day if I'm alive and remain to the coming of the Lord. I know in whom I believe. And as we share that with the world around us, especially with all the fear being preach to us, all the things going on that are scary that are taking place in our world, we need to know that we're in the palm of our Savior's hand. And Joseph is just one of those experiences we can look at in Scripture to gain that. And so God help us and open our eyes to how there are no simple steps to walking in the good, pleasing, and perfect will. I mentioned this last week of God. It's not just do this, this, and this. Now, we've got some amazing things happening here with our church, but I'm not going to write a book on what we did to. It's like this stuff has happened because God is doing things out of our, basically, vision, our dream. I look at the council members that have been a part of this, and I want to compliment the councils. You know, a lot of councils wouldn't have gone along with some of these choices we had to make in accepting the Baptist church. That one went over pretty good, and I've talked about the congregation. We actually lost a number of people that thought we're nuts for doing that and that we're going to go bankrupt. And now we haven't gone bankrupt, have we? We have done very, very well. And who knew the ministries that were going to result in these decisions that were made, that God opened the door. God did these things. And this is what Paul said to the Philippians. He says, "For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every and any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength." And I always like the King James Version. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And that's it. And that's the victory that God wants us to have in our own personal experiences. That I learned this from the circumstances I've gone through. And then Paul, verses 25 to 29, talks about the generosity that he experienced, and that he's asking here the Romans to participate in. And I love throughout Scripture that we are told that we are to be generous. In fact, generosity is a fruit of the Spirit. Sadly, many Christians have demonstrated to the world stinginess, not generosity. I remember when I first, and it wasn't here, it was actually in Alma Center, where someone came to the church there and was talking about, instead of leaving a tip at the table, they left a tract that said, "Here's a tip for you." And it was a tract telling them about Jesus. And my wife had been a waitress, and she was like, that's not going to go over very well for a waitress that, oh yeah, hand me something religious and want me to believe this, and you don't give it, you stiff me on a tip. And it's like, and they're thinking that is witnessing for the Lord. It's like, no, give them a generous tip. And then if you want to give them a tract, then it might speak to their heart. But, you know, you see stuff like that, and it's like, man, Paul talks about here to Timothy about this idea of generosity. He says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life." And thank God for it. We have these passages that are there. And I want to encourage this congregation. You guys are generous. And that generosity speaks out. In fact, it's not just the congregation here. The city of Hayward, this whole area. I tell you, the things that this community does as a little community to help people has astounded me over the years of being here. People that don't even go to church. In fact, we've had people make donations to us just recently that are helping us in the ministry here. They don't even go to church, and yet they want to help us reaching out. I'm like, that is amazing. God working. We just had some big gifts. Leslie knows the amount of gifts that came in from people wanting to help us to do what we're doing. And it's encouraging to see that, and that God works in and through generous, loving hearts. And so continue to do that. And the last thing here, on the last point here of this last passage, the verses 30 to 33, Paul talks about praying, to join him in my struggle by praying to God for me. And I know many times it's like, "Pastor, you talk about prayer all the time." It's like, we need to talk about prayer. Not just talk about it, but to actually pray. That's right. Whoever said that back there, do it. That's right. We need to pray. We need to pray for America. I mean, I am shocked to hear some of the things that are going on. School districts now with kids claiming to be furries, and now they're actually, and I mean, I just saw this an article down in is it Wanakee, one of the school districts in Wisconsin, where these kids are wanting to be cats, and now the teachers are having to treat them like a cat. And Yeah, and it's like, seriously? This stuff is going on, and it's like, in fact, yesterday at our pastor's, Mike did a training with us, and David brought this up. He goes, listen to this. This is what's going on, and it's like, seriously, this is, and I see the passage out of Romans, professing ourselves wise, we become fools. And it's like people who are having those issues, if they think they're a cat, God, we need to help them, not encourage them, not encourage them to say, okay, you can be a cat then. You can be a dog. You can, whatever they happen to want to say now. It's like, it's beyond comprehension. And it's like, dear God, how do we reach people like this? How do we reach a world that, in fact, they look at us, what I'm saying right now, this is hate speech. It's like, no, it's not. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about how can we be that crazy and to have a Supreme Court justice that cannot define what a woman is? Like, seriously? It's like, it defies description. And it's like, God, help us. Amen. Amen. It's like, oh, I cannot believe it. And it's like Paul said to the Corinthians, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. I'm not talking about going out and fighting people or doing any of the things the world does, but what does Scripture call us to do? Pray. Prayer. Pray for these people. Pray for the Supreme Court justice. Pray for the people who are pushing these agendas. And it is an agenda that is right out of the pit, not from God at all. In fact, everything from God is thrown to the wind. Anything else is accepted. But the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And it's like, boy, is that ever appropriate right now? We need to demolish these arguments and these pretensions that are just literally shaking their fist at us as a society and as a world. And it's just beyond comprehension. So this morning, may we take this to heart. May we see Paul's letter to the Romans, and we're going to come into, now in the next couple weeks, we're going to go on Palm Sunday and Easter, but then after Easter, we're going to finish up here in Romans and the passages that Paul is just giving some commendation to the people that he is reaching out to, and just like we need to commend each other. But all of this is here. We need to take this to heart in our own daily life here and recognize that we have to live out our faith like never before, to not be ashamed, to not be afraid, to be bold, to be courageous, and at the same time, speak the truth in love. I mean, I hope this morning that I'm coming across not hateful, not prejudiced, not bigoted, as we're all being accused of, but it's just concern, deep concern. Concern that wakes me up in the night, crying and praying for America. I know we're all in this together, so let's stand as brothers and sisters and join with people across this land and turn this country around. Amen. 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 Amen.